Read through it every year. Hang it on those pegs. This is what God says in the context of what He's doing. Just keep adding a little more to your outline. Just a little more to your understanding of it. Take time to meditate on some of the significant thoughts and let God begin to grip your heart in terms of getting a vision for what He's doing and the part that God wants you to play. We're living in Acts somewhere. I don't know what the number is, but Acts something. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. That's where we are today. We're getting up close to seeing five. I don't know whether that'll be 100 years, 500 years, 3 days, 3 hours, 3 minutes. I have no idea. But we're living in that time frame. What does God providentially want for our nation? I don't know. I think I know what God is telling us to do. I think I'm beginning to understand what God wants me to do. I see a part that the navigators are to play. I see a part that God wants the body to play. We're all in this together. But God's got to do some significant things to make that happen. And He's looking for people to stand in the gap to do that. What I'd like to do before I forget it is to, first of all, give out the assignment. Secondly, is if we could pass this out around. I've got one for everybody, so could run that. And then if this is the time that's right for you to put something together so that you have something, so that all your Bible study and all your reading and everything makes sense and you've got something to hang it on, then go to work on it. But more than that, take time to reflect on what God's doing and where you are and being a part of that together. And God will call us what may seem to be to us some little part, but if we're standing and are involved in that, there is no little part. There is no little part. I wished I had time to take you through what the world would look at little parts that have made pivotal turns in history. I tell you, I am here today because of a grandmother who had a seventh grade education. And all of her children called her Camel Knees. She was raised on a farm in Alamo, Tennessee, in West Tennessee. She wore her stockings and rolled them down, you know, just below the knee. For you all who are familiar back in those times. She would get up at 4:30 in the morning and get on her knees over the bed and pray for 2 hours before she'd go out and feed the chickens, before she'd start her day. My dad told me in the hospital when he died, it's been 4 years ago now, be 5 years ago, excuse me. Dad shared with me that he never remembered a day. I didn't know this. Dad shared with me that he never remembered a day that all three of the boys ever left home in 18 years. That his mother didn't get down on her knees and make them get down on the knees, put her hands on their head and pray for them. When my dad died, I went and opened the lockbox at the bank. And within that lockbox was a letter that my grandmother had written to my mom and dad. And evidently, I was probably in the 11 to 12 to 13 age bracket when the letter was written. And in the letter, she took Mom and Dad to task on the way they were raising me. She carried them through Proverbs like I've never been carried through Proverbs. And then toward the end of that letter, she says, I've prayed for this boy ever since the day that I knew he was conceived. And I've not missed a day in my life since he was born in praying for him. And I have prayed that God would touch his life. And put him in God's work. And I have no intentions of that going wrong. And then she shared more Proverbs. And you know, I don't know what she did in terms of God's plan of redemption. But I remember the stories that she used to tell me about the Bible. They would just come alive. Those 2 hours in prayer. And what I'm doing today is a result of that. And who knows what else? Who knows? There is no small thing when you're involved in God's great plan of redemption and what He's doing. No job is too small. Probably the greatest job of all are those that are willing to stand in the gap, as she did. I'm sure she probably didn't understand this smooth little deal as today, you know. But she knew God. Boy, she knew the Word. She knew it from beginning to end. It was in her heart, and she was a prayer. She was a woman of prayer. There's no job too small when you're involved in God's great plan of redemption. There are no small things that we do. No small things that we do. I could tell you a lot of war stories, but let me get some more stuff out here. One of the things I need to do is to give you a copy of the... can I get you guys to... How should we do that? Just pass them around and I'll get a few other things going. And let me pass each one of these out to allow you to meditate and think on them. And then one of the things that I'll be passing out is a thicker... it's the thing that James Hatch put together on when he was out here for us, that would give us a little broader background in terms of history, in terms of things that are going on, that would just add to what I've shared today and would allow more information to be put together for you. But let me encourage you this, that whatever you do with this thing, make it yours. And when you take the assignment, don't just copy it off and force it in, but make it yours so that it's there. And then whatever is the way that you see that and express it and add on to it. Use these as references and helps, but not as, just don't rubber stamp it. It'll do no good. No good. I think we've gone beyond the break. And I think we need to, we call it quits here, if that may be the thing to do. Or we could take 10 minutes and come back and let you all share a little bit. Questions, dialogue, if there's anything that some of the others could bring up. Because of the longness of the day, maybe we ought to pray and call it quits. I'm not sure. What do you think, Stacy? It's been a...
We probably have a few questions, plus we have an evaluation.
Oh, okay. Why don't we take 10 minutes and then come back together and we take divide the time up. 10 minutes.
This diagram here, I don't understand entirely how Christ fits into the picture from this point. From the diagram, it seems, well, the kingship of David didn't work out. That was God's plan moving along, and then, well, it set into deterioration, and so God brought Christ into the picture. But we know that he's from the picture from way back when.
That's right. Well, see, the picture that we're talking about is this one. And the problem with the diagram is you can't make it say everything. And that's a good observation, and as I told Stacy, I'm interested in how some of you all approach it, because I'm also interested in trying to make it say the right thing as well as by leaving it out what it doesn't say. So if your creative thoughts on it are going to be, I plan to get with the results of this also and learn from it. So I'm not sure how to depict that.
I'm not sure, not even from the diagram, but just from what you shared and just the history, you know, just the flow. That's one, as you're explaining it, that was just one thought that came to mind. I didn't see how that flowed through
Well, I chose not to take and go back from the very beginning of where Christ is a picture in light of Genesis 3, 15, as to how he's a part of that. Another way of approaching and following the thread through the Bible is to start at Genesis 3:15, set the stage for it, and follow it through with Christ being the linkage to both the old and the new. And that certainly is a legitimate approach, and I've seen others do that. I think it's the timeless, universal aspect of both faith in the coming Messiah and the timeless and universal aspect and the faith in the fact that Christ came, that it's the focal point and the central event of all history. And it's true. I have focused more on the concept of the working of God and the speaking of God being in God's plan. And that's an excellent point that we just may need to consider that in the future. Let's say Paul is in verse, which one? Verse 14. Mm-hmm. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world. Yeah, I'm not sure, Abby.
That's not in the church age, but out here.
Well, there are a couple of things that I'm not sure whether I want to pick back up on in terms of God's kingdom, but it probably would be localized to the church age, yeah.
Yeah. And scene 3, when you talked about the importance of helping a new believer, I thought you were talking about a new believer, understand who Christ is and who he is in relationship to Christ before.
Uh-huh.
He understands what he must do. Are you referring to what the believer, what not only Christ has done, but also what our role is in fulfilling the Great Commission?
Yeah, the two thoughts that hit my mind when I was trying to convey that is the whole idea that as believers we have been baptized or immersed, is what I understand that word to mean, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We have been immersed into Him. He is in us. And in this day and time, it's been more probably the last maybe 50 or 60 years, we've talked a lot about Revelation 3:20 and receiving Christ. And the emphasis is on me receiving Christ. When the real thrust is the fact that I'm immersed into Him as well. And I am in Christ. And Christ is in God. So when I understand that my identity is wrapped up in who He is, then it frees me to be the man that God made me to be. And so, on the one hand, it's the understanding of who I am in Christ as a Christian. And on the second of it is, as I disciple people in a task-oriented society, just as soon as they say amen, we almost get them involved in the task without, at the expense of their relationship with the Lord, in terms of really measuring on who they are as a Christian. So I think that was the idea that I was trying to speak to in the epistle. There's a twofold need of all Christians. One is to understand the essential nature of their salvation. That's the first part of it. And the second part is how to work it out in life and in service. And the tendency oftentimes is to jump too quickly to the second without really majoring on the first. And when you look at the chronologically of the way Christ handled that, He spent an awful lot of time up to Matthew 16:13 or Mark 8:27, helping them understand who He really was. And it's when they really understood that, and that really came in, and it wasn't shallow, but it clicked, then they got to the other. So it's not only me myself, even as a 47-year-old man, being set free, and the freedom comes with recognizing that I'm inadequate. But He is adequate to meet my every need in every moment of the day. And so the freedom comes. See, the world says, oh, you can't be inadequate. You know, you look funny, you dress funny, and
compare yourself with others, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So if I get my identity from that, so it's not only helping others, it's a grown man coming into that reality. And for most of us, that comes much, much later in life. But hopefully it does come. And we see more of that identity and the freedom of being inadequate. Because it, God works through inadequate people. And there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, that's the way to go. And so it's finding my identity in the fact that He's adequate and I don't have to be a 10 talented man. They didn't ask Superman to be U.S. Director of Navigators. They asked just plain old me. And I'll do a better job of being me than anybody else. And therefore, He'll be adequate. So my identity is not in my position. It's not in my friendships. It's not in what I do. It's what I am and who I am. So I think the two things, one is understanding myself, but secondly, it's making sure that as I disciple others, I don't move too swiftly over here at the expense of damaging in our discipling process. Let's see, maybe we should thank the Lord together. Jimmy, why don't you pray for us?
Okay. Father, we're extremely grateful, Lord, for, first of all, your great plan of redemption that you have provided for our salvation, and that we have a hope and a future, and we have a relationship with you, and the time is rapidly approaching when we'll see you face to face, and Father, we are extremely grateful for that. Father, we thank you for Terry, we thank you for his years of ministry, we thank you, God, that you saved him, and Father, we thank you that he leads the Navigators in the U.S., and Father, we thank you for his ability to teach and to communicate. We thank you for this particular day. And God, we pray that you help each one of us find a particular application. Lord, we desire to be doers and not hearers only. We desire, Father, that when we leave this room, that we will have been marked for your purposes for having been here. We pray, God, that you look over our shoulder in years to come and realize that there was something that we learned, something that we gain insight into today that will make a permanent difference. And Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God that dwells within us. We thank you for the scriptures that we hold in our hands and the work that you've called us to. We praise you, Father, for those who teach us the Bible. We give you the glory for all that you do in Christ's name. Amen.